I always remember Rav Ovadia Yosef, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He used to give a shiur. Most of Am Yisrael used to watch it through the computer, through the Levian, the satellite. Tens of thousands of people used to watch the shiur. And every time Rav Ovadia Yosef gave a shiur, he had a rabbi before him, Rav Mutzafi. He was warming up the crowd. So I have the honor to warm up the crowd for my shviger, Rabbi Tzemeki Rabinowitz. And I hope I'm gonna really. I'm sure everyone here knows or even remembers, I wasn't born yet, where he was the day that Am Yisrael on the Six Day War conquered Yerushalayim. We went back to the Kotel. It was such an inspiring moment. Tears, everyone is crying. It's amazing. And I think nowadays, if you want to take the picture that symbolizes that moment, is Rav Gorin standing with the shofar near the Kotel and blowing the shofar. Everyone remembers. Also, there's the famous picture of the Tzanchanim, the soldier looking up at the Kotel, tears in their eyes. It's such a special moment. I lately read a memoir of a guy. Some of you may know him. He was a famous singer called Meir Ariel. Meir Ariel is one of the most famous Israeli singers of all times. He wasn't a from Jew. And he was there. He was one of the fighters that were the first soldiers to get to the Kotel. And he tells a different story about what happened there. He says, we entered there through Shar HaShpot. We get there to the Kotel. We're the first unit to be there. Every unit in Tzal wanted to be the first unit to be there, but we were the first. And he said Rav Gorin was with us, and he had a shofar in his backpack because he understood already what a moment this is going to be. And when we finally get to the Kotel, where 19 years no one could see the Kotel, people used to go up to Har Tzion, Mount Tzion, to try to see the Kotel and to pray from there. We come there, and he takes out the shofar from his backpack, and his hands are shaking. And he's shaking like this. And he's taking the shofar and he's trying to blow the shofar. And he couldn't do it. He's trying again and again. And I know some of you probably have been in the shul during Rosh Hashanah when the Baal Tokeya couldn't do so well. It's such a situation. He heard the pfft, pfft. He couldn't blow. And he said that at the same place, there was a guy from a kibbutz. Not from, his name was Tzvika, from Kibbutz Ein Charod. And he tells Rav Gorin, listen, I blow a trumpet. Tell me if it's the same technique, blowing a trumpet and blowing a shofar. And Rav Gorin said, listen, it's the first time I hear this kind of question, but probably it is. Take the shofar. And the first shofar that was blown in the Kotel wasn't by Rav Gorin. It was by this guy from the Kibbutz, from Ein Charod. He wasn't from this guy, and he was blowing the shofar. Afterwards, Rav Gorin came back to the Kotel. He took a picture for all the newspapers to see Rav Gorin with the shofar. The first time the shofar was blown in the history after Am Yisrael came back to the Kotel was by this guy, a non-from Jew from a kibbutz. I love this story. I think it's the perfect story to tell us how do you go back to the Kotel. It's a story of Achdus. You know, Rav Gorin blowing the shofar in the Kotel, that's the obvious. I mean, we would expect that from him to do that. But here Rav Gorin coming, and he's so excited. And then the guy that is not so much connected, this guy is not from, he came from the kibbutz, but he's the one blowing the shofar. That is the kind of connection we want to have when we talk about the Kotel, when we talk about Yerushalayim. We know that Yerushalayim is mentioned in Tanakh hundreds of times. More than 600 times. But if you see, and I'm sure you know Chumash very well, you have a very good teacher for Chumash, you know how many times Yerushalayim is mentioned in the Torah, in the Chamisha Chumashim. Anyone knows? Not even once. Not even once. How can that be Yerushalayim? The most important place in the world, the holiest place in the world, is mentioned many, many times in the Tanakh. But in the Torah, it's not mentioned even one time. You have a few hints, Ramazim, talking about Yerushalayim. I would say the place you can really see Yerushalayim is mentioned, but it's mentioned as follows. It says in Sefer Dvarim a few times, a day will come when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to decide where is the place that he chose, and that is the place where in the future the Beit HaMikdash is going to be. And when that is going to happen, there are certain halachot, certain things, mitzvot, that you're going to do there. How is that called in the words of the Torah? Hamakom asher yivchar. This words are mentioned in Parashat Re'eh and Sefer Dvarim many times. Hamakom asher yivchar. It's like the Torah wants us to be surprised when it's going to happen. And say, I'm not going to tell you. You know what's going to be that place? You got to wait. You know, in Israel, you know you do like that. A lot of you come from the States. That's what you do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, wait. Wait. Slowly, you're going to get there. But I'm not going to tell you. We know eventually Yerushalayim was chosen, and we're going to go today through that process. And we know if we go back, that that's the same place where Avram Arishon was Adam Arishon was created from. That is Eben Ashtia, the rock that is the basis of the whole world. That is the place where was Akedas Yitzchak, where Avraham Avinu went to Har HaMoriah. Har HaMoriah is the Temple Mount. It's Har HaBayit. But that everything we know after Yerushalayim was chosen, then we get back, we understand the secret that that place that was chosen, you should know, many, many years ago, since the day of creation, that was the place that was supposed to be Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash. But no one knew that. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that. And the one who actually, when was Yerushalayim chosen? Only by David HaMelech. Only by David HaMelech Yerushalayim was chosen. But what happened till then? And why is this supposed to be such a surprise, a secret? What is going to be the chosen place? Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't tell us from the very beginning, you're going to enter Eretz Yisrael, there's that special place where there was the place of Akedas Yitzchak. That was the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, and that is the place. We know that's the place. And you're going to go there. You're going to get into Eretz Yisrael. You're going to build your capital in Yerushalayim. You're going to build the Beis HaMikdash in Har HaBayis. Why everything needs to be a surprise? So if you go back and you see, and I did ran a research, because it's very interesting always to see the places that things are mentioned first in the Torah, in the Mikra, in the Tanakh, the places that are mentioned first, you learn a lot of things. And here we need to go deep into the story of conquering Eretz Yisrael by Yehoshua bin Nun. Am Yisrael comes in from the desert. We know he goes out of Egypt, that Am Yisrael goes out of Egypt. They were supposed to go directly into Eretz Yisrael, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them, no. ולא נחם אלוהים דרך ארץ פלישתים. ארץ פלישתים is through Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon. That is the easiest way if you come up from Egypt. No, it's too close. כי קרוב הוא. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to take them in the easiest way. Okay, let's go in the other side. They were supposed to go up north through the Negev. That is the place the Meraglim went, right? The Meraglim, when Moshe Rabbeinu sends the Meraglim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the Meraglim, and they're supposed to enter Eretz Yisrael, going up the Negev through Be'er Sheva, entering Eretz Yisrael from the south. That doesn't happen. Because of Chet HaMeraglim, the other entrance was blocked. It's the second entrance to Eretz Yisrael that was blocked. What is the entrance that was finally chosen to be? Coming in from the east. They went all around. They weren't allowed to fight Ammon and Moab and Edom, all these nations they weren't allowed to fight with. Eventually they come in. Through where they come in? It's a famous area. It's near Jericho. Near Jericho, you have the place where there was the famous miracle that the Jordan River stood and Am Yisrael are passing. I know this is the spot of the Tanakh Shir, right? Usually, we're going to talk a lot of Tanakh. We're not going to do a Bittul Torah. So this is the story how Am Yisrael miraculously goes and enters Eretz Yisrael on the 40th year, Yud Nisan. It's a special day. Yud V'Nisan, 5 days before Pesach, they enter Eretz Yisrael. Now, we're not going to go through every detail in detail, but I want to understand what is the war plan of Yehoshua bin Nun. What is he trying to do? If you see, the first city to be conquered is Jericho, Yericho. And there is a miracle. They go around the city 7 days. The seventh day is seven times. And Finally, the walls of Jericho collapse down and Am Yisrael conquers Jericho. What is the second city they're going to fight? Ai. Very nice. Usually when I ask men when we learn this together, they don't know the answers. Baruch Hashem, some people know the answer. The Ai. The Ai means you go deeper into Eretz Yisrael from east to west, right? After they conquered the Ai, there's a whole story there. It didn't work at the first time, right? There was a sin because Ochon had a sin. Am Yisrael suffered. They had two battles on the Ai, but finally they conquered the Ai. What is the third city they conquer? Here comes an interesting story, I'm sure you know. They were supposed to continue to where? Yerushalayim, the area of Yerushalayim. That is the natural continuation of conquering Eretz Yisrael. That is the way they decided to conquer Eretz Yisrael, right? What's the strategy? The strategy is to cut Eretz Yisrael into half, okay? You conquer the whole middle of Eretz Yisrael, Jericho, Ai, Givon, Yerushalayim. You finally cut it into two, then you don't need to deal with everyone at once. How do we know that? Because we know that twice in Sefer Yehoshua, there was a coalition of different kings that decided to fight Am Yisrael together. They couldn't fight Am Yisrael each on their own. They were too small. They created huge coalitions, okay? If it would be a coalition of all Eretz Yisrael, it could have been tough to conquer Eretz Yisrael. So Yeshua has here a strategy. I'm going to cut Eretz Yisrael into half, and then I'm going to need to deal with the south. Afterwards, I'm going to deal with the north. That is the basic plan of Sefer Yeshua. If you learn inside, you cut into half, you conquer the south, then you conquer the north. What happens when Yeshua comes closer to the area of Yerushalayim? There's a city here called Givon. And this city, the people of the city hear what happened to Jericho and to the Ai, and they're frightened. So they sent to Yeshua a delegation of people, and they're bluffing, right? They're saying, we came from a far place, we heard what you have done, we want to have a peace agreement with you, don't do to us anything. Eventually, Am Yisrael signed a contract, a bris with the Givonim that they're not going to fight them. Afterwards, when they find out that the Givonim were liars, well, that was an issue of Chilul Hashem. We can't do anything. So you know what? Nevertheless, we're going to keep our promise and we're not going to fight the Givonim. And then the Givonim are safe. They're allies. We don't need to fight them. We're not going to conquer them, but we can use them. We can use them in certain ways. At that point, something dramatic happens, and that is the point of history that we first hear about Yerushalayim. And I'll read you the psukim and I'll translate. It says the following. Vayehi kishmua Adoni Tzedek Melech Yerushalayim. Adoni Tzedek is the king of Yerushalayim. The words Adoni Tzedek, I don't know if they remind you something, you have some context. Malki Tzedek. Malki Tzedek was the king of what? Of Shalem. Very good. There he's called Malki, the king. He's called Adoni. Adoni is my lord, right? Adoni Tzedek. Adoni Tzedek Melech Yerushalayim, ki lachad Yehoshua et ha'ai v'yachrima ka'asher asa li Yericho v'lamalkah. He hears what Am Yisrael and Yeshua, the great commander, did to Jericho and to the Ai. And v'chi yishlimu yoshvei Givon et Yisrael v'ayu b'kirbam. And he hears about the peace agreement. I don't know if it's such a good peace agreement. I don't know if that's the right term. The agreement between Am Yisrael and the Givonim, that is the point that the king of Yerushalayim says the following. V'yir'u me'od, he was frightened. Ki ir gdola Givon ke'achat arai mamlachat. One of the largest cities in Eretz Yisrael was Givon. And he said to himself, if Givon is so frightened and they decide to go through all this to make sure that Am Yisrael is not going to fight them, well, one thing I know, I'm in big trouble. And this is the king of Yerushalayim. Vayishlach Adoni Tzedek Melech Yerushalayim, and he sends El Hoha Melech Hebron, the king of Hebron, to join him. Pira Melech Yarmut, Yafia Melech Lachish, Dvir Melech Eglon Lemor, Alu Elai. He sends to these four other kings in the area. He says, come and join me. Alu Elai Veizruni Venaked Givon Ki Yeshlima Et Yoshav Et Bnei Israel. They say, listen, there's one nation here that broke the secret coalition we had that we were supposed to fight Am Yisrael. And what is that? Givon. If we're not going to punish Givon, we are going to be in big trouble. So he called all these kings and he says, we're going to go and we're going to fight Givon and we're going to send a strong message to all the other kings here in Eretz Yisrael that whoever is going to even think about doing the same thing that Givonim said is going to suffer very much. And then what happens? I'm not going to read it from inside. The Givonim, see how chutzpahic they are. They sent the Yeshua and they say, we're in trouble. We have an agreement. Please come and help us. Well, we know when it comes to Chilul Hashem, we got to keep our promises. Yeshua comes. He and all of Am Yisrael were near the Dead Sea, near the Gilgal. Gilgal is the area of Dead Sea. A whole night, he climbs up Yeshua towards Yerushalayim with his army, and he comes to protect Givon. But it's not just that. He doesn't just protect Givon. He takes the opportunity that all these strong kings are together with there to fight, and he surprises them, and he starts running after them. They're escaping down the other side of the mountain towards the Mediterranean. That is where we know we heard about the famous miracle. Shemesh beGivon Dom veYareach beEmek Ayalon. Yeshua tells the Kadosh Baruch Hu, listen, I want to take the opportunity and to get rid of these kings, but I have a problem. I need light. It's very hard for me to fight when it's dark. Kadosh Baruch Hu, please give me light. What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu do? He holds the sun there and up in the sky until Yeshua manages to conquer and to kill all these kings in one day. In one day. Who is the leader of the coalition fighting Yeshua? It's the king of Jerusalem. It was already, we know it was an important city. But one thing that disturbs me very much is when you continue learning Sefer Yeshua and you come to Perek Tisvav, you read the following. The prakim after Am Yisrael completes conquering the south, the north, everything, there's a list of the cities that were conquered, okay? That Am Yisrael are starting to live in. You know, Am Yisrael is starting to live in Eretz Yisrael. But in that list, it says the following. Ve'et ha-Yevusi yoshvei Yerushalayim lo yachlu bnei Yehuda leorisham. The Yevusi, Jebusites, that is the right way to say it, I think. I'm not sure. We're sitting there in Jerusalem, and Shevet Yehuda couldn't deal with them. So Yerushalayim was not conquered. It's very odd. I mean, he had such a great opportunity. Yeshua bin Nun, he conquered. He was fighting against this coalition. The king of Jerusalem was supposed to get the biggest punishment. And nevertheless, you see that Yeshua left the Canaanites there, the Yevusim, to live in Yerushalayim, and they didn't conquer Yerushalayim. Why? Why didn't he conquer Yerushalayim? I'm not asking this because I'm assuming that Yeshua knew that Yerushalayim is an important place. Let's say he didn't know. As we explained, not everyone knew that Yerushalayim is supposed to be the chosen city, the chosen place. But strategically, you're in the center of Eretz Yisrael, you're there. How come you're not taking advantage of the situation and making sure that this city of Jerusalem, sitting in the peak of the mountain here in Eretz Yisrael, it's a strategic place, how come you're not conquering that? So it's interesting. This is the first place we meet the story of Yerushalayim. It's the first place that Yerushalayim is mentioned in the real name that we use till this very day, Yerushalayim. Let's continue to Sefer Shoftim. We're still in the Tanakh here, right? Let's go. In the beginning of Sefer Shoftim is a very interesting book. Why is that so? Because we know that Shmuel HaNovi had written three books in the Tanakh. Shoftim, Shmuel, and what's in the middle? Megillas Rus. How do I know that Megillas Rus is in the middle? Because Megillas Rus starts with the words, Vayehi bimei shvot ha-shoftim. Those were the day of the judges. What is the end of the Megillah? Vayishai olidet David. It's David HaMelech. If we want to see where are the Shoftim are in Sefer Shoftim. And when we talk about David as king, that is Sefer Shmuel. So we know if you want to really learn this seriously, you learn Shoftim, then you learn Rus, then you learn Shmuel. Why is that so important? Because Rus, Megillas Rus, explains to you how, what is the big change? What happened that we could go through from the Shoftim, the judges area, to Shmuel. Now, Shmuel HaNovi, when he writes Shoftim and Shmuel, it's like a mirror image, one book to each other. Because Sefer Shoftim, nothing is functional in Am Yisrael. You don't have kings. You don't have Nevuah. You have only one prophet in Sefer Shoftim. What's the name? Everyone knows? Dvar HaNeviyah. Dvar HaNeviyah, I'll tell you just, you know, as a footnote. Sefer Shoftim, you see, it's a whole book about women power. You know, people like to talk today about women power. Shoftim is women power. The only prophet is a woman. As a woman. You see that the ladies are controlling the situation. Shimshon, who's controlling him? Delilah, the wives. You see Abimelech, who's controlling the situation? Abimelech, the lady who kills him by throwing up over the wall. I don't know if you remember the story, but you have many, many examples. Barak ben Avinoam and Dvorah Neviyah. Dvorah is the one that's also leading the battle. She's not only sitting there near the tree giving her prophets. She's really running it. Who kills Sisera? Yael. If you go through Sefer Shoftim and you heard this headline, woman power, you're going to see a lot of interesting things in Sefer Shoftim. So, you don't have a king. You don't have prophecy. The Mishkan is hardly mentioned in Sefer Shoftim. It's only mentioned once in the story that we're going to get to, Pilegesh Bagiva, right? And the Kohanim Gdolim are hardly mentioned. It's very clear when you open Sefer Shmuel is the following book in the Tanakh. What is the first story of Sefer Shmuel? You have a Kohen Gadol, who is that Eli. You have Shiloh. Shiloh is the place where you have the Mishkan. Shmuel HaNavi starts his prophecy after many, many years. Am Yisrael didn't have prophecy. How do I know that? Because when Shmuel lies down, everyone knows the story. He's in Beis HaMikdash. He's sleeping there, right? This little child. And he hears the voice, Shmuel, right? Shmuel. What does he do? He runs to Eli and he says, I don't know what to do. I can't sleep. I'm hearing voices in the middle of my sleep. Nowadays, we would send him to a psychologist, right? But he clearly heard voices. After three times that he hears, Eli says, I know what you're going through. I heard from one of the Zetas of my Zetas that one time in Am Yisrael there was prophecy, and that was the kind of experience that Nevi'im had. So listen to me, young child. Next time you hear this voice, Shmuel, Shmuel, what do? You say, Daber Hashem ki shomea avdecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please speak to me. I'm listening. That's what Shmuel says. So prophecy starts. Afterwards, in Sefer Shmuel, in Perek Tesser, very quickly, Am Yisrael decide, and Shmuel leads them and helps them, criticizes them, to appoint a king. So everything that didn't work in Sefer Shoftim suddenly starts working in what? In Sefer Shmuel. These are mirror images, as we said, these two books. Now, Sefer Shoftim is also interesting in another phenomena. We are used to read books and to see the paralogue, right? You read an introduction to the book in the beginning of the book. You should know this is a quite modern phenomena, writing an introduction to a book. When you open the Gemara, there's no introduction to the Gemara. When you open the Mishnah, there's no introduction to the Mishnah. Even in other writings, not just Jewish writings, you never have introductions. The whole concept of introduction starts around the year 1000 plus minus. We see that in Am Yisrael, Rav Saadia Gaon and the Rambam, they both write introductions to their books. But in the ancient world, no one writes an introduction. What is your introduction usually? You start reading, you get the basic idea. By the way, in most Sfarim, in the Torah, in the Tanakh, you have a hidden introduction. Because we know no author, you know, wants you to jump into the water without getting some kind of an idea what is going on. Sefer Shoftim, and this is a good trivia fact you should remember, is the only book in the Torah and the Mikra that has an official introduction. Until the middle of Perek Gimel and Shoftim, there is an introduction. And Shmuel HaNavi writes this book, tells you, listen, this is going to be the system. And this period of time I'm describing to you now, the time of Shoftim, it's a famous, I don't know if you learned about it here, it's a famous system of the Shoftim era, that Am Yisrael sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes them, they cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they're suffering, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends them a Shoftim, a judge, to save them. And that happens over and over again. This whole formula, which we call in Hebrew, Galgal HaShoftim, the cycle of the Shoftim era, it's written in the introduction to the book. But that same introduction starts with another story. The beginning of Sefer Shoftim starts that after Yeshua dies, ויהי אחרי מות יהושע, וישאלו בני ישראל והשם. עם ישראל אסק הקדוש ברוך הוא, אורים ותומים, מי יעלה לנו אל הכנעני בתחילה להילחם בו? Who's going to be the first tribe to go and fight the Canaanites? What are you talking about? We just read Sefer Yeshua. The whole book of Yeshua is about fighting the Canaanites, conquering Eretz Yisrael, and here, the first, very first pasuk of Sefer Shoftim after Yeshua is, Yeshua Hanavi is not with us. Who is going to fight? And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers? Vayomer Hashem Yehuda Yale. Yehuda, Shevet Yehuda. This is the tribe that is supposed to fight. Hineh Natati Et Ha'aretz Bi'yadu. What's going on here? A whole book was written about conquering Eretz Yisrael, and here in the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, we start talking about who's conquering. Then there's another story. When Yehuda, I'm not going to read it from the inside, when Shevet Yehuda wants to fight, as we know geographically, where is the area of Yehuda? It's down south. It's the whole Negev. Most of the area of Eretz Yisrael, it's the largest piece of land in Eretz Yisrael, is the Negev. It's down south. That is Shevet Yehuda. Okay? And when he wants to go and fight, he doesn't want to go by himself. He wants a coalition. We described already that. What's the power of coalition, right? So he asks, who's going to join me? The only tribe that joined him was Shimon. Shimon is the tribe, he's a neighbor of Yehuda. So they share the same interests. And that is the reason that Yehuda and Shimon, they go to fight against who? Against a king called Adoni Bezek. They're fighting against Adoni Bezek. And then, after they fight him, and they win that war, they take this king to Yerushalayim. And when they come to Yerushalayim, that is the place, I don't know why, because we know nothing about Yerushalayim so far, but they decide to bring Adoni Bezek to Yerushalayim. This is the second place Yerushalayim is mentioned in the Tanakh, is here. Okay? The second place, the third place. We mentioned already two places in Yeshua, right? The second place says that they didn't manage to conquer Yerushalayim and the Canaanites lived there. This is the third place, okay? They bring it to Yerushalayim. And then it says the following. It says that when Shevet Yehuda conquers Yerushalayim, they burn it. They burn Yerushalayim. They don't live there. At that same chapter, the first chapter of Sefer Shoftim, it says in the end that Shevet Binyamin wanted to conquer Yerushalayim, and they couldn't conquer Yerushalayim. It didn't work for them. Now, I have a few questions here. The few questions is, as we mentioned, how come they need to conquer Eretz Yisrael? They need to ask who's going to be the first tribe. I mean, Sefer Yeshua, we were busy conquering Eretz Yisrael. The second question is, how come Yehuda, when they conquer Yerushalayim, they burn it and they don't live in it? And if Yehuda conquered and burnt it, how come it says afterwards that Shevet Binyamin couldn't conquer Yerushalayim? What's going on here? What's going on here? I'll add another question, which has to do again also with the beginning of Shoftim. We just learned in Parashat Shavuot a few weeks ago, in Parashat Pinchas, that when Moshe Rabbeinu realizes that he's not going to enter Eretz Yisrael and he's about to die and leave, he goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he starts talking to him, and you have a very interesting pasuk there. A very interesting pasuk, another trivia fact. Vayidaber Moshe el Hashem lemor. We know hundreds of times in the Torah it says what? Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Here it's the only place you have it, but the other direction, Vayidaber Hashem, Vayidaber Moshe el Hashem lemor. Usually what is the meaning lemor? Lemor is I'm talking to you, but please pass over, tell Am Yisrael, lemor, please say that to Am Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he also says lemor. Who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu supposed to speak with? That's the following words. Yifkod Hashem Elokei et Ruchot Ish al Ha'eda Asher Yetzeh Lifneim Vasher Yavoh Lifneim Velo Teyeh Adat Yisrael Katzon Asher En Lahem Roeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please appoint a man who's going to lead Am Yisrael. I don't want them to be like a flock without a leader. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lemor, what is Lemor? Please say that to the leader you're going to choose to appoint. Moshe Rabbeinu is a responsible leader. He knows he's not going to be here. You got to make sure to have a successor before you leave. Nevertheless, After Yeshua was chosen, he's the one that was chosen, he didn't learn from his rabbi. When Yeshua dies and leaves, he doesn't appoint a successor, which is mind-blowing. How can he leave Am Yisrael after two powerful leaders like Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua Binun, and you do not appoint a leader? How can that be? We learn from this something very important about Sefer Shoftim. Sefer Shoftim is the homework that Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua left the Am Yisrael to do it on their own. You got to work it out on your own. And we're going to tell you what is the homework. When you go through Sefer Shoftim, which we mentioned that Yishmael HaNovi wrote it, it's an era of about 350 years that Am Yisrael doesn't have prophecy. They don't have a king. They don't have a Mishkan. The Mishkan is there in Shiloh, but it's not so relevant. No one talks about it. No one even knows where it is. If you open the last chapter of Sefer Shoftim, you see that they're trying to tell you where is Shiloh. It says you go there, you go up the road near Beit El, you go north. It's like someone is giving you on ways, directions, how to get to Shiloh, because no one knows where it is. You got to give them the geographical reference how to get to Shiloh. Shiloh is out there. The Kohanim, no one hears about the Kohanim. Pinchas, Kohen Gadol, is mentioned once in the whole book of Shoftim, 350 years. What happens here? It's chaotic. It's anarchy. The whole Sefer Shoftim is anarchy. What do we see? We see leaders that are not appointed, but there's a situation. They are attacked. They're suffering. And what happens? You have that leader with the right charisma, and he says, I'm not going to let this happen. And he gathers people. They come out there with their weapons, and they go and they fight. After they finish fighting, each one goes back to his house, to his farm, to his business. You don't have an army. You don't have a capital. There's no capital during Sefer Shoftim. You don't have any administration. When David HaMelech starts being a king, afterwards by Shlomo, you see it big time. You have a capital. You have an army. You have miluim, people on reserves. You have a tax system, lo aleinu, right? And you have everything. You have an administration. You have the minister of this and of that. Tkufas HaShoftim, you have nothing. What happens? Yeshua bin Nun leaves and he says, now is the time you got to work it on your own. And what is the formula? What is Am Yisrael expected to do during the time of Shoftim? This has to do deeply with what happens with Yerushalayim. Sefer Shoftim starts with what? Yeshua bin Nun dies. And the question is, who's going to conquer? What is the question who's going to conquer? Here there's an interesting phenomenon people are not aware of. There are three different terms you should know when you learn Sefer Yeshua and Sefer Shoftim. There's kibush. What is kibush? Kibush is conquering. That means strategically, you own the area. How do you own the area? Through conquering the strategic points. That's kibush. Then you have horasha. Horasha means getting rid of the people that are living here. Horasha. The horashtem et yoshev aretz. It mentioned many times in the Torah that after you conquer, it's not enough to conquer. Most of the lands in the world that were conquered by people, the people who lived there stayed there under the occupation. It's very hard to get rid of people living in the area, right? You want someone to work in the land. You want to have manpower. You don't just take the people and get rid of them. But in Am Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, he had a mitzvah of lo techayeh kol neshama. You cannot leave the Canaanites there. Why? Because these are corrupted people with a corrupted culture. And if you leave them there, both Moshe and Yeshua bin Nun warns Am Yisrael, if you're not going to leave them there, you're going to assimilate with them and they're going to corrupt you eventually. And that's why here you have a unique command. Do not leave the Canaanites there. So Yeshua bin Nun tells Am Yisrael, listen, we conquered. We own the area. We're sitting on all the strategic points, the strategic roads. We are the Balabatim, the owners. But you still have work to do to clean the area, to clean the surface. That is Horasha. The third term you should know, learn, is Hitnachalut. Hitnachalut is like what we talk about nowadays. Hitnachalut. What is Hitnachalut? Being the settlements, being able to live all around the area, not just in the places you lived in. You want to make sure Am Yisrael is living from up the north, in the Golan, in the Galilee, and Judea, and Samaria, and Samaria, and the Negev. All over they should have little villages. That's the way you really control the area. And Yeshua bin Nun, after conquering Eretz Yisrael, nevertheless, the Canaanites were still there. What is the homework he left to Am Yisrael? You got to complete the job. After we own the place, you're going to need to clean it. If you open it, we're not going to read it now. The first chapter of Sefer Shoftim, there's a list of cities that the tribes left with Canaanites inside there that they couldn't conquer. And that's what happens with Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was actually conquered, but it was never cleaned out and settled. And if you think, by the way, the best example for what happens there, what we have right now in Eretz Yisrael, we conquered Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't mean that the people who lived here left, right? We know the people stayed here. And we know that the people who stayed here, we know so much trouble we have from the people that are staying here. So it's not enough to own the land. If you want really to control the place, I don't want to sound racist, and I don't want to say each one of you takes it, it's his responsibility. But in the mikro we see, until he cleaned the land, and he makes sure that your people are sitting in each and every spot in that land, you're not completing your job until you do that. That's the plan of conquering Eretz Yisrael. But when it comes to Yerushalayim, this is a different phenomenon. Because in Yerushalayim, as we mentioned in the first story with Rav Gorin and that guy from the kibbutznik, Yerushalayim cannot be conquered without achdut. And why is that so? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu designed Yerushalayim to be the chosen place, because that is the place that is the borderline between Yehuda and Binyamin. Yehuda is from Leah. Binyamin is from Rachel. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants Am Yisrael to be in a situation of achdut and to conquer Yerushalayim together and to hold it. And here in the beginning of Shoftim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the formula. First of all, he asks who's going to be the first one to take responsibility to clean their land and to conquer and to complete the project that Yehoshua Binun started. Yehuda. Why Yehuda? Because Yehuda is the natural leader of Am Yisrael. Yehuda Yaleh. That's what the Urim V'Tumim tells us. But then Yehuda understands, I can't do it on my own. I got to have a coalition. So he wants Am Yisrael to be united around him. And what does he want to do the next step? After I unite Am Yisrael around me, and Yehuda's the leader, I'm going to go and I'm going to conquer Yerushalayim. But what happens? Only one tribe cooperates with Yehuda. Shimon, who happens to be a close neighbor of Yehuda, with the same interests. So you don't have achdus. So what happens? Yehuda go to Yerushalayim, and they burn their part. They understand I have nothing to do with it. Later on at the same chapter, it says that Binyamin conquered their part, but they didn't do it together. They didn't do it together. If you didn't do it together, you cannot conquer Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is supposed to be conquered in a way that what? That Yehuda leads. Am Yisrael are around him, and they come to Yerushalayim together as a united power and take control of Yerushalayim. And that's actually what happens in the time of David HaMelech. Shaul was the first king for 2 years. And we know that at his time, Shaul, you should know, he's the first king. He's half a judge. He doesn't have an administration. He doesn't have a capital. He doesn't have a regular army. David HaMelech is the first one to create a real system of administration. And at the first years of David HaMelech, the first 7.5 years he was a king, he was a king in Hebron. He was the king of only of Shevet Yehuda. What happened with Shifte Yisrael? I don't know if you learned it already. They were with Ish-Boshes, the son of Shaul. Right? It was a civil war. After 7.5 years, they managed, together with Avnei Bener that was murdered in Hebron, to unite Am Yisrael. And when Am Yisrael is united around David HaMelech, he goes to Yerushalayim. And Am Yisrael accepts him as the king, united around him. Is the first thing he does, he goes and conquers Yerushalayim. But when he conquers Yerushalayim, he conquers it together. I want to tell you something very amazing I heard from Rav Neria, the Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He said that the reason that nowadays Am Yisrael conquered Yerushalayim only during the Six-Day Wars and not in Milchemet HaAtzma'ut, Milchemet HaShichrur, Independence War, it's because we weren't united at that time. There was the Haganah and the Etzel and the Lehi. Everyone knows about the disaster of the ship of Altalena, what happened there. Am Yisrael was fighting for its survival, but it didn't have that kind of achdus that you need to have if you want to conquer Yerushalayim. Conquering Yerushalayim could have happened in the Six-Day War only. Why? Because Am Yisrael were united around the cause, and Am Yisrael comes together and conquers Yerushalayim. And I think nowadays, when you talk about the Chorban, and we talk about what is the right way that you want to hold and have Yerushalayim, that is the main thing. Yerushalayim, you should know, has two words. Even the word itself of Yerushalayim talks about being united between two concepts. Why? Because we know that the first hint, we said Yerushalayim is not mentioned in the Torah. The first hint of Yerushalayim is what? Umalki tzedek melech shalem hotzi lechem v'yayim. When Avraham Avinu comes from the big war of fighting against the Melachim, so Malki tzedek, the king of Yerushalayim, comes, it's still called Shalem then. And he offers him wine and bread and maaser. And what does he talk about? You come back from a war, Yerushalayim is a place of peace. That's why the name of Yerushalayim is Shalem. So this is a political concept. When Avraham Avinu comes back from fighting the kings, right? He meets Malki Tzedek. They have some kind of an agreement there. That's a political concept of Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim is the capital. But Avraham Avinu himself, after in the end of Parshas Vayera, after Akedas Yitzchak, that big moment, what he says, Vayikra Shem HaMakom Ahu Yera'eh Asher Ya'amer Hayom Be'ar Hashem Yera'eh. He says the place of Akedas Yitzchak is the place that is called Yera'eh. Yera'eh, and the meaning, I'm seen. I'm seen by who? By HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I come here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees me. That is the Ruchnius, the spiritual part of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a connection between Shalem v'Yera'eh. You have a place of peace. That is the name that Malki Tzedek gave the place. And Yera'eh, that is the name of Avraham Avinu gave the place. You connect Yera'eh and Shalem, what do you get? Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the place where the political powers and the spiritual powers come together. And we want to know what is the formula that we need to have nowadays to hold Yerushalayim and to be zeichet to binyan Yerushalayim. We should listen to the very first places where Yerushalayim is mentioned when the Torah gives us this formula. When Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua leave us this homework, they say, we got to work it up on our own. That's our homework nowadays. If we're going to work on Achdus Be'ezrat Hashem, we're going to see Binyan Yerushalayim B'mirah B'yameinu. Amen.